It's 25 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Monday, and as I promised you before that tune, I would be linking you with DOCRA, the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, and the chair, Dion Viljoen. Nice to see you again, Dion. It's been a while. It's been an awfully long hiatus, and I missed you tremendously. I'm just going to get your mic standing upright again.
There we go.
Listen to that. That's perfect.
I've been around, but a little bit in the background. But I've taken over chairmanship again because our chairman, Brian, has gone to the Cayman Islands for 18 months.
Lucky man.
When he gets back.
Earning real currency.
Earning real bucks and not doing the volo. He's still involved and he still does our financials for us. He's a champion with that, so we're delighted.
Yeah.
Taken over chairmanship again.
And we're going to be talking about financials because that's pretty much the order of the agenda today, the topic that we're going to be talking about. The previous financial year, annual financial report, and then there's been a lot of controversy about the fact that the chief financial officer, Raj Kumar, has been put on suspension pending the outcome of a court case that is currently being deliberated on, and we've been following that very closely. You guys must have surely been appalled at the state of affairs, because I believe since he's been put on suspension pending the outcome of this legal matter, the coffers have been somewhat denuded, and some say it's like, well. Certainly, I read a report today from the ward councillor, Privy Makan, about the Hewlett Bridge saga, where huge amounts of money have been paid out, and there's nothing happening there. Nothing.
Yeah. But that's a construction issue. I think we need to separate, you know, the flood money that came in, and that's a big amount. It's $1.2 billion, and the bridge is part of that. And yes, there are some construction areas that are suspect or concerned, and these are raised, and we raise them with the Auditor General.
Yeah, I believe one ward, I think it was Ward 19, got 200 million rand, and they didn't have any flood damage. So, I mean, that
so
also...
So those kind of things are investigated, but that comes out of the national 1.2 billion. You know, we obviously worried about that, and we look at that, but our biggest concern is the municipality itself. Is where our ratepayers' money is going.
And some of that, I believe, has also disappeared because there was how much was the buffer, the financial buffer that was 3-month reserve that was kept fiscally prudently for the rainy day, proverbial rainy day, which has dwindled now down to 1 month's reserve.
You know, Dave, you know, we've got to look at this in a whole year thing. You know, in any kind of business, there's a cash flow situation. So it's back up to 2.5 months already. And it depends on when the year comes in. You know, when the new year comes in, the 1st of July, that first month, there's no rates and taxes raised. We only pay 11 months. So we take the 12-month cost divided by 11 to give the accounting systems times to catch up, which means that in your first 3 months of the year, your cash flow dwindles, but then it catches up again. So one's got to look at not just one slice of it. You've got to look at an overall year and analyze overall figures. We're unhappy that Shamir is no longer there is a fact.
Because he was, by all accounts, very effective as a financial
He was very
controller.
Effective. None of us are without out little glitches and things like that. Not me, not you, nobody. But Shamir did a very good job. And he put us on a financially strong platform as far as our municipality is concerned. Nene has done a good job, under the circumstances. He's now replaced by another guy, which we haven't met yet. We hope to meet on Thursday because we have our quarterly meeting with the executive of the municipality on Thursday afternoon. So hopefully we'll meet him then and be able to do. But we liaise very closely with the Auditor General. And the money that was there is there. The bank accounts are there, all 30 odd of them. They reconciled, and there's sufficient coverage, and our municipality is still financially, as far as the operating concern is, stable. Not only stable, probably one of the better ones in the country.
That's really good news. It's marvelous to hear the good news, because we get a lot of the bad news.
And there's a lot.
And I think that it's a, as you say, in life, none of us is perfect, and you get the yin and the yang. But that's what makes up the flow, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. But maybe, Dave, if I can just start off with to thank the community of the Dolphin Coast and our members. An hour ago, we hit 6,000 paid-up members, just well over 6,000. We've had our strategic meeting recently, which was done by our new vice chairman, Stefan Marais, 2 weekends ago, and we now have 14 operating committees. I remember the days, and you'll remember the days, when we were struggling to get 5 people to sit on the board.
Yeah.
We are now 42 volunteers that serve on 14 different specialist committees. Electricity, infrastructure, water, environmental affairs, outreach, safety and security, you can name them. So the organization of DOCRA is blessed with the support from the community, not only financially in membership terms, but in their feedback and in their support and their participation in the various committees.
Well, that's kudos to you guys, because you've done a remarkably good job. And we say this openly, we're very supportive of the fact that you operate, and it's a remarkably, you have a level of professionalism in this voluntary space, simply because it's in the community's interest to have a very well-managed, effective residents and ratepayers association. Without that, you've got no input into how your rates are going to apportioned. So it's wonderful to know that there is this vibrant... You're quite right. I mean, there was a time, and not too long ago, when DOCRA was in jeopardy of closing.
Sure.
Because there were, you know, there was just so many issues, and there was open, naked hostility between the municipality and the so-called residents that were just disgruntled old troublemakers, and it was difficult to bridge that gap. You guys have done a fantastic job, and I would like to suggest that we have regular report backs, because unless we know about these things, the rumors perpetuate, because everyone is like to spread rumor, and they get a lot of traction, and people get very upset, and then they get desperate, because what is the real situation? Let's hear what the real situation is today.
The one comment I want to make is that we've got a very different approach. We've got a co-governance approach with the municipality. We do battle with them, and tomorrow I'm going to the Municipal Public Accounts Committee. I've got 47 questions that I'm going to ask about the annual financial statements and the annual report of things that we are not happy with. And we'll probably be occupying 80% of the impact meeting space over the next 4 weeks. It's going to happen weekly. So where we've analyzed that. But it is also collaboration. We make suggestions. Where DOCRA was 6-7 years ago is probably where Durban and Peter Maritzburg is sitting at the moment with the ratepayers. It's an angry... aggressive, name-calling kind of approach. And that really, Dave, does not work.
Yeah.
You've got to sit down. You've got to do your homework. You've got to go and attend every stakeholder meeting that you possibly can. And then somewhere you're not welcome, you attend those as well, quietly in the corner, and the people come and ask you why you're there. But we do that. And we've now got a number of people that are supporting us and assisting to do that.
Yeah, and that's why, I again, salute you for the work you do and the team. And we want to support you, because ultimately it's in our interest, all of us, to
we
have
value
this collaboration.
I want to share one more exciting thing. We've managed to breach the highway, and we are opening up a chapter in Ward 8 in Okombongo. A couple of residents there approached us at our last AGM, and they said, what have you guys got that we haven't got? Why can't we achieve the same? And we are now collaborating with them, not only to open up soup kitchens, to get some charity initiatives going, but what we're uncovering, what's happening in the township areas, in the rural areas, Dave, is shocking. It is diabolical. The lack of service that they get from their own municipality, and the lack of support they get from their own ward councillors, where these ward councillors believe that their ward is their kingdom, and the municipal facilities that are there that have been paid by taxes are under their control for their private use and not to be used broadly. And the reason I can say that here today is because we've reported this to the mayor, to the speaker, to the MM, to the individual responsible, the executive director responsible for opening up that area, and for some other reason, a certain councillor is keeping the municipality at bay. And we are not going to let up until we've opened up public facilities, which has been paid by taxpayers' money, a taxi rank of 10 million, a resource center of 30 million, a sport facility, which is not available to the public. It's only available to when and if he wants to open it up for his use.
That sounds completely out of order. And more strength to you, but this is dangerous territory that you're moving into.
Yeah, we move quietly, slowly, in unmarked cars. But in any case, no, so we're very excited about that. The annual financial statements of the year 23 has been published. The annual report has come out as well. Our finance committee, led by Brian Burtis, who you know quite well, yes, is now ably assisted by four other people on that committee, all CAs, and we managed to pull apart the annual financial statements, ask questions. There's some good things that came out over the last year. Overall, the performance of the municipality, and this is where they've said, give us 100 rand and we're going to do these 100 things. They've managed to do 77% of that. That's the highest in the last 5 or 6 years. And Dokra would like to believe that they had a little hand in pushing that with everybody else to ensure that that performance is achieved. So that's on a good side. They're still collecting 95% of the rates and taxes. We keep warning them and telling them that, you know, if we are not going to get the services, that percentage is not always going to be there. But at the moment, the percentage is still sitting at 95, which is a good indication of prudent financial management. Where we incredibly worried is electricity losses, sitting at about 260 million and increasing.
Is that stolen electricity, or is that connections that are forged at sort of senior level in the right or the wrong environment, shall we say? Is it these illegal connections that have been going to informal settlements that are, you know, you see them whenever you drive into informal settlement, or is it more sinister than that?
We like to believe it's all that, but it's not. So yes, it's illegal connections, absolutely no doubt, is a very big percentage of that. But there's also smart meters and smart metering companies that are selling electricity but not paying that money over to the municipality. So okay, there's a good chunk of those. I mean, there's a good 50 or 60 of these companies that sell prepaid electricity. Not all of them are accredited and so on. So that's another problem area. Incorrect billing is another problem area. Incorrect metering is another problem area.
Because that was
some
an issue
big business as well.
A while back, there was a tendency to, if you were connected, you could get your meter adjusted somewhat. That was the case.
Yeah, so that's wherever possible, that is audited. You still have meters that are inadequate or old or broken or whatever the case is. But so it's made up of a whole host of things. And the acceptable norm from NERSA is around about 7 or 8% electricity loss you're going to get purely because of heat of electricity transmission, but certainly not 26%. Now, worry is that this is not abating. Despite 17-point plans, and we're not seeing the performance come back from that. What we're very proud about and very pleased about is that the drum that Dokra has been beating, that of the lack of performance management or credible performance management, and then the lack of consequence management after that performance management, is a big problem. And we've now got the Auditor General onto that song as well. We've got COCTA onto that song. And when the financials were presented in the council three weeks ago, I was there, and they got lashes, not just from us, but that word is spreading that, guys, you're not getting your performance management correct and your consequence. And therefore, the implementation or the service delivery is lacking.
Well, let's take a breather because there's lots to unpack still. We're talking with Dion Viljoen from Dokra, the chair of the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association. Some extremely encouraging signs coming out of this discussion today with regard to how your valuable contribution to the municipality is being spent or being wasted. We'll find out a little bit more on the other side of this. All night, all night. All night.
Skryfbehoeftes, verseker jou 'n veilige, vinnige en doeltreffende inkoopervaring. Met 1018 is terugskool toe soveel makliker, die plaaslike en lekker manier. Besoek hulle by Crowton Corner of skakel hulle op 032-586-1690.
Moving can be stressful.
How are we supposed to pack up your office and our house in time for the move?
And we're downsizing. Where do we put all the furniture and all our boxes?
Take the stress out of moving. Call the masters at Master Movers to make your life transitions hassle-free. Not only do they pack, wrap, and move your furniture, they also have a state-of-the-art storing warehouse that you can visit in Bolito. Move with the masters at Master Movers and use the code BEMOVED for your first month of storage free. Find us on mastermovers.co.za.
And here we are back again in conversation with Dion Fillion from Docra. Dion, so very interesting to hear how hard your teams have been working behind the scenes to keep the ball in play. Because I think ultimately at the moment, there's a great fear that with elections being as close as they are and with the ruling party in disarray and with the advent of a new grouping of potential political inputs, things are falling apart and the center cannot hold, etc., etc., and everyone is very, very nervous about where to from here. What is your view with regard to, and I know it's all kind of stargazing, but the current municipal situation, are you confident going forward that we've got a, because of the DOCRA municipality connection a good chance of keeping things tidy?
I think so, Dave. If we have a look at over the last, let's say, 2 years, the vociferous debate that's taking place at council level from opposition parties and different opposition parties, and there are people that are very well-versed and do their homework and are challenging. And then there's a little bit of disunity happening on the controlling benches.
Yeah.
They lost their deputy mayor, who sadly passed TV in Thule. And since then, the ANC has not been able to stand enough together to be able to elect a deputy mayor.
Wow.
So there's different groupings happening within that. There was even a case recently where there was a vote taken and a big chunk of the ANC councillors got up and walked out so that they weren't available to be counted and weren't able to vote. So they didn't abstain.
Okay, they just weren't there.
They just weren't there.
So we are de facto in coalition territory right now.
It's coming. And let's have a look. Okay, we've got the provincial and national election coming up now. There's a lot of hope that there could be change at provincial level from a coalition point of view. So certain political parties have signed coalition agreements. And that will then, if that does happen, that's going to be pressure on municipalities, because you get your COCTA, rolling out and overseeing activities at municipal level. And then 2 years from now, we're going to have a municipal election. I think I think a lot of things are going to be changing.
Well, luckily, as you say, currently the municipality is performing. There are obviously areas of concern, and like there always will be. But if you look at the general malaise that affects municipalities around the country, where I think as many as 80% of them are completely dysfunctional now, or maybe that's a bit high, but certainly it's right up there. To be in the minority percentage of functioning municipalities, this is good.
Absolutely, Dave. And if you take our destination, it's one of the fastest growing in the country, so it gets a lot of attention, from national government, provincial government, political parties, and so on. So there's a lot of focus here. And sadly, and I'm going to say it, is a really desperate situation that is sitting on our borders at Durban and Pietermaritzburg, Mzunduzi area and eThekwini area. If you look at house sales and people moving into Ballito, 77% of them are coming from KZN.
Yeah.
So it is KZN people that have identified the Greater Dolphin Coast area as somebody that's got a private supplier for water, private supplier for waste, safety and security that all stood together and kept our beaches safe and secure, private sector companies, South African police, Metro Police, all working together.
Yeah.
Where do you get that?
There's been a bit of a question about the ongoing support for Caesar Water as a private contractor. They've done an outstanding job, as far as I'm concerned, of keeping the aging infrastructure from collapse, and in fact improving it to a large degree. Their wastewater turnaround and recycling has been world class. But there's a bit of pressure from I don't think Guadaguzo municipality, but the Ilembe district municipality to take back that contract.
They're very keen to take it back, yes.
What is DOCRA's position there?
Absolutely going to try and perpetuate it. If it's not Caesar, we'd like to keep it in private hands. So we do want it to go out to tender. And we hope Caesar gets it, but hopefully there are other companies that are, or equally able to tender for it. But we would like to keep that as a public-private partnership.
Because it works.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're pushing very hard. We're very close to the management. We've attend meetings with them. We participate with a consulting organization that's assisting them. So we're very close. And the same goes for our waste management. We want to keep that in private hands and a private service provider. So the whole concept, and I mentioned a bit earlier, is called co-governance, where your civil society, in collaboration with your municipality, cooperate. And here's some classic examples: Caesar Water, Dolphin Coast Waste Management, the private security initiatives that happened in December, where everybody participated, clubbed in, and worked together and kept us secure. Why can't we multiply that in the electricity space? Why can't we multiply that in other areas as well? So, and that becomes a co-governance kind of concept. And international research has shown that that is the model.
Well, looking at what the work that the Urban Improvement, the UIP precinct, has been doing,
absolutely,
that's a shining example of that process. Private money going into an organization that is well funded and delivers, but then the municipality has a role to play. They collect the money and disperse it, and also when they're, you know, once the verges have been cut and trimmed, the municipal vehicles come and take it away. So, you know, that
collaboration
it works extremely well.
Yeah, and that is where we're going, and it is for that reason that I'm delighted that we've got so many members supporting us. We've got so many volunteers working together. We also have an alliance with all the other civil society structures, with KDRF, with ICAM, the Ilembe Community Action Movement, with Tinley Manor, with Blythedale, with Zankwazi. We have a forum. We talk to one another. We approach things differently, and we play to one another's strengths, but we talk to one another and we collaborate.
More strength to your bow, 6,000 members and growing, because this is important. The more strength you have, the more seriously your position is taken, particularly when it comes to important matters like keeping the private sector involved in affairs that possibly the municipality would like to dominate in, and for obvious reasons. So for those listening and wondering how to become involved, or how indeed to become a member of DOCRA, what would you suggest they do?
We're delighted to announce that we've got a new online system. It's easy peasy. Click on docra.co.za and a icon's going to appear. You click on that, and it's step by step.
And that's DOCRA, so D-O-C-R-A.
D-O-C-R-R-A.
There you go. Residence
and ratepayers.
It catches us all. And I mean, I've been there for years. Dolphin Coast Residence and Ratepayers. D-O-C-R-R-A.
.co.za.
And that's where you will find all the information you require. It's great chatting, and I think, as I say, let's do it on a regular basis, because there's so much good information to impart, not always good news, but good information that the community needs to be able to put into circulation, cutting out the rumor-mongering and the fear, because
we've got a long way to go, but we're at the table and we're doing it.
And thank you for being on the afternoon show with the first round of that information. We look forward to many more conversations.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for your support.
The chair of DOCRA, you're on the afternoon show. It's 8 minutes to 4.